To Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verses 1 through 13, page 949, if you're using the Bible in the pew before you. Let us hear God's word for us today. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Please be seated. We are spending the month of January in our morning worship services considering a bit our mission and vision. If you are new to us, our mission statement is right there on the front of the worship guide for you, a gospel community, joyfully loving God and others through gracious means, generous mercy, and global mission. In a certain way, that mission statement is simply an encapsulation of the fruit of the gospel in our lives. It's really nothing new. We're not that creative around here. We simply want to take the ancient good news of Jesus Christ and minister it effectively in our own generation. And today we are focusing on the activity of that in joyfully loving others. In fact, there's 4 points this morning, and each one begins with joyfully loving others. So you can just put J-L-O, okay? That's not J-Lo. I know I'm hip and cool, but I'm not that hip and cool, okay? So J-L-O, and then there will be an applicational point in each one of the 4 points in how we go about this coming out of Romans 15. The first thing in joyfully loving others is we do so to build them up. To build them up. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. What a blessing it is that Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, did not at this point define the categories of what makes someone strong and what makes someone weak. That is such an influx thing day to day with each of us and topic to topic as well. You might be strong in one point of the faith, or you have a brother or sister who's weak in that point of the faith, and vice versa. And that might change from Tuesday to Thursday. Who's strong and who is weak? Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Paul here is quoting from Psalm 69, verses 6 through 9 say, let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me, O Lord God of hosts. Let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. For it is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons, for zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. It is here in Psalm 69 that we hear the heart of our Savior. We hear the heart of Jesus for God's church. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. And what was that joy on the other side of the cross? It's you. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And he gladly bore the reproach of those who hated this whole idea to accomplish redemption for all of God's people in all times and all places. That reproach that he bore was due to his passion for the church. For zeal for your house has consumed me. If we joyfully love others, we will bear reproach for their weaknesses, their failings, and for their sins. And when you and I understand how Christ, in all of his perfection, has borne reproach for us, we will much more easily be able to bear with those around us who are weaker than we. If Christ can do it, and we are filled with his Spirit, then we can do it. The second matter we see here in joyfully loving others is we do so to give scripture-based hope. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now, for the Roman Christians, this would have been the Old Testament. Those who are in this first century enlargement of the faith, the fulfillment of the scriptures that the Gentiles would believe, and they are inheriting all of those scriptures that had guided national Israel and the church of Israel for so many generations. And there had been Gentiles trickle in here and there along the way, but now there's this mass explosion of the gospel into the Gentile world, and they are inheriting those scriptures. How much more full is this testimony for us? As we even reflecting week by week, as we have been for some months and will for a number of months more, looking at the history of the book of Acts, tied into the gospel of Luke, where we see all that God has done in and through his people, generation after generation after generation. Now, it's not inspired, but we can add to that the history of the church and the testimony of the martyrs who have gone before us. We can look at these things and we can find hope for encouragement, hope for redemption, hope for reconciliation. No matter what matter we are facing in our lives in loving others rooted in the gospel, whatever failure we might believe we are experiencing, we can turn back to the scriptures, we can turn back to the testimony of the saints, and we can say, wow, look at what God did there. Look at that healing. Look at that redemption. Look at that reconciliation. Look at the work that God did. I can have hope. You can have hope. No matter how impossible the situation seems surrounding you, in joyfully loving others. Now we might pause here and you might say, well, Joel, I appreciate this matter of loving others, but do I have to do it joyfully? You don't technically have to. But if God in our redemption, in our sanctification, is bringing us back to that place, that estate in which our parents, our first parents were created, being holy and happy. We won't just experience redemption and all the fruits of it. We will delight in it. We will enjoy loving that one that 6 months ago was driving us nuts, because it's a sign of the gospel at work in our hearts. Few things are more frustrating to me as a pastor than hearing about within the church people who haven't talked to each other for years because of something that happened back then. Friends, if the gospel is at work in us, we will be able to step over those reproaches and approach our brother and sister in Christ in love and see healing and see wholeness come about. And we'll even enjoy it. We'll delight in it. Thirdly, JLO, joyfully loving others, to harmoniously glorify the triune God and bring the gospel to the nations. Listen to this transition in the text. Paul gives this mini benediction. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we say yes, and we say amen. That's part of the power of Christian worship, of the readings together, the responsive readings, and particularly of the singing, because it's very hard to get people to read together at the same time. But you throw a little music in there, and everyone's praising God with the same words at the same time. Most of us are, anyway. Some of us struggle with rhythm. That's okay. That's okay. But we are lifting up the praises of God with one voice, and we say yes and amen. But listen where Paul goes in light of this. Therefore, you know, that's a very intentional transition in the text. He's built up this glorious picture of harmoniously praising the triune God. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. This has issues of hospitality. This has issues of fellowship. This has issues of evangelism and bringing people fully into the life of the church so that there's not tiers of membership. Well, I know you're a member, but I've been a member a long time. Well, I know you've been a member a long time. I've been a member a really long time. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Why? For the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. What was the promise given to the patriarchs? That all the world should be blessed through the seed of Abraham. That's the patriarchal promise. And not just all the world until they get to the border of Israel, but all of the world will be blessed through him. Worship and evangelism go hand in hand. In some churches, worship is the only thing that matters. In other churches, evangelism is the only thing that matters. And when it becomes that way on either end, it distorts the life of the church. Worship and evangelism go hand in hand. And if someone happens to think that, no, we have to focus on one or we have to focus on the other, I would say you don't understand either of them. Because evangelism will lead to more worship, and more worship will lead to more evangelism. That's part of the whole point of missions, is seeing God create more worshipers in the world. Out of people that hated him yesterday and are in the body of Christ, praising him and loving him today. Now, Paul goes on to quote a number of scriptures here. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing your name. This comes from David's great song of deliverance from 2 Samuel 22, captured for the Psalter in Psalm 18. And he says, you delivered me from strife with my people. You kept me as the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. Foreigners came cringing to me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation. I'll pause so that song can play out in your head. The God who gave me vengeance and brought down peoples under me, who brought me out from my enemies, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from men. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. This is David's song, but it's really Jesus' song. For he is the king of the nations. He is the one who ultimately, in a very final way, will find the nations come cringing to him, come bowing before him, come adoring him, come turning to him for hope and for salvation. He is the anointed offspring of David who shows steadfast love forever. He also quotes from the Septuagint, that's the Greek version of the Hebrew scriptures, in Deuteronomy 32, 43. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Now we're only two quotes into this, but you begin to see that if you somehow think that the Gentile inclusion in the gospel was some mystical, mysterious thing that just all of a sudden happened and nobody could have ever seen it coming, you see that the Old Testament scriptures are full of the hope that the gospel will cover the earth as the water covers the seas. That it is not surprising when Revelation says that there will be one from every tribe and every tongue and every nation praising the Lamb on that last great day. It's not surprising. It was the plan from the beginning. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. This is from that great missional evangelistic Psalm 117. If you're going to memorize a chapter of scripture, you want to start here. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. I can't help but think, because some things never change, that when Israel would sing that psalm, only two verses in length, that somebody said, you know, all the good psalms are longer. They have many verses. This is such a short little ditty. And really, I mean, it's just talking about God loving us and God being faithful to us. I mean, shouldn't we sing psalms that are more God-focused rather than focused on our experience? This is a great psalm that Israel would sing that basically all it's saying is, hey, everybody, it's time to praise the Lord. Because he's loving and he's faithful and he's like that forever, forever. And again, if you think I use a lot of scripture quotes, whew, Paul keeps going. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, and him will the Gentiles hope. This is from Isaiah 11, which speaks of the justice of the gospel rooted in God's love for all of his people from the nations. Isaiah 11, 1 through 5, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from its roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. This is clearly speaking of Christ, and we see at his baptism by John the Baptizer, the Spirit coming down, anointing him for that work of redemption as prophet, priest, and king that he had come to earth to accomplish. But we also see in here little glimpses of what it's like in a community that is ordered and ruled by Jesus Christ. That's the church. That we see beyond circumstances, that we see beyond first impressions and the things that we see and hear. And we know that God is at work in the lives of broken, sinful people. And where others become hopeless, we begin to see hope. And where will all these people come from? Well, in that same chapter, in verses 10 and 11, we read, in that day the root of Jesse, who shall signal for the people, of him shall the nations inquire. And that's a picture of them coming to him in hopefulness, hoping that he is the answer to their need. And his resting place shall be glorious. In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar to Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. Christ will gather all of his people from all places, and they will hope in him. And we as the church get to be part of that. We as the church get to love others as they are redeemed and as they are brought into the worshipful presence of the Savior. Fourthly, joyfully love others to abound in hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Remember, Paul is calling the Romans to be welcoming to one another, to be hospitable to one another, to love one another because of what Christ had done for them and because of what Christ would do through them as they loved one another. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Why? Because it will evangelize the nations. That's massive. That's huge. And it's something that we could easily lose track of and lose our hope in. And now Paul is calling us to be filled with hope, that God would fill us with hope. The God of hope would fill us with hope. hope, as we find joy and peace in believing these things. And so if you're here today and you are feeling hopeless, I would simply ask, have you tried joyfully loving others? If you're afraid the gospel doesn't really work anymore, have you tried joyfully loving others? Bearing their reproach, welcoming them as Christ has welcomed you. If you're struggling to find your place in the church or in your community, have you tried joyfully loving others? And I dare even ask, if you're not experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, have you tried joyfully loving others? Sometimes there is no greater evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in your life than your ability as a human being to love another human being, to welcome them, to lay down your life for them. So friends, we are a gospel community. We are built on the gospel. We preach the gospel. Our hope is in the gospel. And because of that, we joyfully love God. We do that through obedience. We do that through worship. And we do it through service. And we joyfully love others. Why? Because the gospel has had such a massive impact and has changed us so greatly, and because of the hope we have of what God will do as we love others. A gospel community, joyfully loving God and others. May He make it so. May this fully describe who we are. Amen and amen. Stand with me as we pray. Father, as we heard earlier, may you open our eyes to see these glorious truths, to find that niche, that place in which loving others has such immense kingdom impact, as it is an application of your great love for us. And seeing how our worship leads to evangelism, and our evangelism leads to worship. Father, fill your church with broken people being healed to sing your praises and to tell the world around them of your grace and your mercy. Fill us with hope, O God of hope, that we might see these things fulfilled in our midst. We pray in Christ's name. And church, let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 252. These glorious words, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride. So often it is in human relationships that our pride is on the brightest display. To seek forgiveness, to seek reconciliation, to seek that joyful connection in the gospel as we worship God and love others. And so it's as we see the cross in the eyes of our mind, as we consider this place in which Christ laid down his life, we are moved by the Spirit to seek our peace and hopefulness in him. And we are moved to share that love of Christ with others. Let us sing together as we prepare to fellowship around the table.